Matt Stepp, how's your air conditioning?
Working great, unlike some places I know.
Step and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step in 72 degree Step Manor in Everman. Matt Step.
I'm trying to get Tepper Manor. I'm trying to get my wife's house. Let's be real. My wife and the boys' house down to 72. I think I've got one of those like smart thermostats, but the problem is that whenever we leave the house, it's like, oh, cool. We can turn off the AC. Yeah. And I'm like, I gotta get in there and start training this computer to do what I want.
Yeah. No, I got old school AC. It's actually, I think it was 75 in the house, but I have the fan going, so it's nice and comfy.
Okay, you say old school AC. My question is, your thermostat, does it have like the little bar that you got to drag across the bottom?
No, it's not that old school, but it's not a smart one. It's digital, but it's not. When I was a kid, my mom had the one that you turned, like you turn a knob.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we had.
So beaten.
Oh, I know. We have a digital one, but it's not smart. I fear having a smartphone, a smart house.
Yeah,
smart
well, you home. Do have an you do have an Android though, so
it seems Android. Like what's up, Android?
Freudian slip there. This is your state 7-on-7 preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being Dave Campbell's Texas Football Insider. This is how many of these preview like 7-on-7 previews have we done?
At least so you did.
Let's see if I can find it.
2018, maybe 2018.
Let's see. 18, the first 19, one
or 17. Did we do 17? Okay.
We did not. So our first one was actually 2019 because our first episode was a 3A, 2A. It was our preview episode of in 2018. So our first 19. One was 2019. Then obviously 20 didn't happen.
Yeah. Let's not talk about 2020. Hmm. 19, 21, 22, 23. Welcome to our fifth anniversary.
Our fifth anniversary.
Yeah, yeah.
What'd you get me? Do you remember?
I got your air conditioned studio. Should we pull the curtain back on that a little bit?
We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. But before we leave this, one note about 2020. So a lot of things were going on all at once. Do you remember the like pretty I'll just say we're a premium podcast, a pretty scammy organization that came in and tried to like do a 7-on-7 tournament at the same place after the 7-on-7 tournament got canceled?
I do recall that, yeah. It was and like a terrible idea.
And like our phones are blowing up. It's like, hey, is 7-on-7 back on? And stuff like that.
It was, and I get it. Everybody was jonesing, you know, it was we'd been, you know, cooped up for a while, and you know, mm-hmm. it was a weird time. But you know, that was probably not the smartest move from an optics standpoint, and thankfully did not.
I think they ended up canceling it, right?
Yeah, because no one was willing to do that.
Yeah.
Most people weren't willing to do that in 2020, the summer of 2020.
Yeah, I think that's right. Anyway, hi. Back in 2024 now, we are going to preview the State 7-on-7 tournament for 2024. And
In College Station.
So we can pull back the curtain a little bit. We are fresh off. We're recording this on Sunday evening. And the plan was for you and I to record this in the same room that the Palatial Dave Campbell's Texas Football Studios.
That was record it right after we did our show, our reveal show.
The pool reveal show, which, by the way, sounds like reviews are in, and the reviews are boffo.
I think it went really well. I think we've started a trend. I think it's something cool. It's just a cool thing to do in the summer, and the teams had watching parties. That was really cool. That is very cool. I'm getting real Selection Sunday vibes from that.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, and I'd love for that to become a thing. It's like you have a 7-on-7 Selection Sunday watch party thing. So shout out Austin Anderson, although they're in a pool with I would say the clear favorite in the tournament. Anyway, all that's to say, we went up there with all intentions to do the pool reveal show, followed by a wonderful, illustrious episode of Tep and Step.
You brought a nice piping hot pizza to piping the party, hot pizza. You know?
And we walk, actually, it's, I mean, well, we walk in, but this is not, the, this is for the sake of narrative. We walk in and the air conditioning is off and has been off all weekend.
At least since Saturday afternoon, from what I understand.
Because we get in there and, okay, it's one thing. Not only was it hot in there. Yes, it was hot. That is one thing. The other thing is that it was like entirely still. Like there was no air circulation at all. So it's just like stale.
And we're on the second floor.
That too. Yes. Yeah. And so shout out.
Before you got there, all the blinds are open too. So the sun is just blaring in.
So shout out to our chief content officer, Brooke Miller, who ran to Walmart in true mom fashion and bought like a bunch of fans to try to like just get air moving, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It helped. It helped a lot.
I encourage everybody to go back and watch the State 7-on-7 pool reveal show on Texan Live and see if you can see the beads of sweat forming on the everywhere of Matt Stepp and Greg Tepper on the desk, as well as Carter Yates, Ishmael Johnson, Mallory Hartley, and Greg Powers.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. VNA Moreno, Ashley, and Mallory behind the scenes. Did an unbelievable. Shout out to WTF. Those ladies did a great job getting. Don't clip this and send this to them, but they did a great job.
They don't listen to this podcast. They don't support the number one women's podcast on Texas,
they don't.
Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Yeah, this is
That's such an inside joke.
All that's to say that we made the executive decision. We're like, we have got to do this remote because we're going to die.
Yeah, I had a can. So Brooke gave me a can of Dr. Pepper Zero, like just to like put on the back of my neck for a few minutes just to try to cool off. And I forgot to get rid of it. It's like if you go and watch the show, the first 5 minutes of the show, it's like sitting there next to my computer. By the way, Dr. Pepper Zero, if you want to sponsor us, we will display all the Dr. Pepper. We will display all your varieties on our desk if you would like to sponsor us. But you are not a sponsor, so I got rid of the Dr. Pepper can.
I think Brooke came running in and she's like, get it off the desk. You know?
Yeah. So
anyway, it was a good show. We're excited about it. And now the pools are out for the 2024 State 7-on-7 tournament.
We have the pools, we have the matchups. So now we can start breaking it down.
128 Texas high school football 7-on-7 teams will descend upon the Brazos Valley starting on probably Wednesday night.
I know like some of the teams that are traveling a little bit further are coming in Wednesday night, like Dumas, understandably so. Dumas is coming in tonight.
But we will be there Wednesday night as well.
Famous pre-tournament dinner.
If you are VNA Moreno's got a pick of this year because she's the new Jack.
She's on the floor.
So we are going to break down each division and have a variety of different topics. We're going to give you the most comprehensive State 7-on-7 preview possible. I want to tell you that before we get into that, on Thursday and on Friday, if you looked at the State 7-on-7 reveal show, pool reveal show, and you thought, boy, I really like the look of Greg Tepper and Matt Stepp on a desk, do I have great news for you that the State 7-on-7 postgame show with highlights, analysis, breakdown of all things State 7-on-7 coming to you live from College Station, presented by the Texas Army National Guard, starting at 6 p.m. on Thursday and on Friday. We're really excited about this, live for free on TexanLive.com.
Pending technology.
Oh, listen, let's think positive here.
I got positive thoughts. I'm just saying. If you want to see Greg Tepper and Matt Stepp sweat, then guess what? Will. We'll be sweating again on Thursday and Friday because it will be hot.
It will be hot, and the coverage will be hot on TexasFootball.com.
What a segue.
That's a sell.
You're a pro, man.
And so I want to let's talk a little bit about the State 7-on-7 tournament. And if this is your first time really paying attention to it, every comic book is somebody's first. So here's how it works. Throughout the course of the last really 2 months or so, there have been state qualifying tournaments scattered hither and yon across the state of Texas, wherein teams enter into those state qualifying tournaments. Each tournament, depending on how many teams are in it, are given a number of spots that they can give away to the winners of those tournaments to qualify for the state 7-on-7 tournament. And so all told, 128 teams qualified, and they are divided into three divisions. They know what division they're in, as you'll hear in a moment. Division one, which has 64 teams divided into 16 pools of four. They are teams from 6A and 5A, as well as any large private schools. There are no large private schools in this year's, but they are, if Bishop Dunn were to get in there, or Houston Kincaid, or and we've seen some of these teams in the past, they would be in the Division One bracket. Division Two is for 4A, 3A Division One, and then small to medium private school teams. So there is one private school team in the mix, and it is Lubbock Christian. And they are a, I want to say they're a Division Three TAPS team, and yeah, they are, and they are slotted into Division Two. And then there's Division Three, which is the newest division. By the way, I'm sorry, there's 32 teams in Division Two split up into eight pools of four. Then there is Division Three, also 32 teams split up into eight pools of four, and they are 3A Division II, 2A, and then 1A teams, if six-man teams do want to play. We haven't had a six-man team, I think, qualified since Turkey Valley did it.
Yeah, yeah. We've had some six-man schools played in qualifiers. A couple did, but didn't advance. Mm-hmm. So,
and so what happens in Division II and Division III, that play will kick off at 1 o'clock on Thursday. And they will play pool play. So they will do a round robin. They will play each of their three pool bunk mates one time. Those results will determine seeding for the tournament the next day, which is a single elimination tournament that'll kick off. They'll play from 1 until about 5:30 on Thursday. Then they will be seeded into the bracket, depending on how they finish pool play. And then it is a single elimination tournament to determine the winner. They will start playing about 8 o'clock, I want to say?
Division 3 will start at 8, Division 2 at 8:45.
Yes, and they will go up until 1 o'clock when they will finish. They'll have the championship game. Division 2 and Division 3 champions will be crowned. At that point, at 1 o'clock...
Winner gets to go home.
Yeah, it is. It's knockout round.
Play one game or five?
Yes, yeah, it depends. Like, you might be getting on the bus and heading home after 45 minutes.
There's all that to say, couple themes that we see. We'll talk about that. You know, the 8 o'clock game, you can tell who had a good time the night before.
Division one then kicks off at 1 o'clock on Friday, and they follow the same thing. They play pool play with their three district bunk mates, and they'll have a round robin. The difference is the two top qualifiers from each pool will be placed into the championship bracket, and the two teams that finished third and fourth in the pool will be put into the consolation bracket. So if you finish third in your pool, you are ineligible to win the state championship at that point. It's kind of like making the playoffs in a lot of ways. And there will be teams that say, peace out, not interested in the consolation bracket, I'm going to bounce. I think that sucks, but your mileage may vary.
You know, I get it. It's tough to get. Number one, you have a disappointing first day. Let's say you lose on a crazy three-way tie, or you have expectations to do well, you don't do well. It's a bummer to be in the consolation bracket. You got to get up early. You got to get up an hour earlier and play at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning.
And so what will happen is that then at 8 o'clock on Saturday, they will wake up and they will play the tournaments concurrently, the consolation and championship. It'll all end about 1 o'clock, and then the tournament will be over. Now, I will say, one of the things about the consolation bracket in D1 that I've come to appreciate, you get some really unique winners in the consolation bracket, because it really is a measure of, like, who wants to be there.
Yeah, who cares? You know, who cares about it, and who is there to who is really playing hard, and who is still, like you said, who cares?
Who wants to compete? Yeah.
Yeah. Who wants to be there? So you can find out a lot about teams that go into the consolation bracket, and
yes,
I can tell a lot about a team's mentality.
Yes, you absolutely can. And so that is kind of the breakdown. Of course, we'll be having complete coverage on TexasFootball.com. And then, of course, the State 7-on-7 postgame show on Thursday and Friday, 6 o'clock, presented by the Texas Army National Guard. We'll have you covered live on TexanLive.com. Okay, so we're going to go. Last year, I went back and looked. Last year, we went smallest to largest. This year, we're going to go largest to smallest.
We're going to mix it up a little bit.
We're going to mix it up, a little remix. 1 year, Division II will go first. Not this year. And so we are going to, for each division, we are going to break down kind of the division as a whole. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pick out a pool of doom, which is a pool that we believe is the toughest overall pool in that division. We are going to pick out a hipster pool, which is maybe a pool that you might not be paying attention to, but we're super interested in. We're each going to pick out a team we're weirdly interested in. It can be for whatever reason. I will tell you, and this is me producing on the air too, it's probably not a team we're going to pick to win a championship. Like, but it's a team like, oh, I want to make sure I watch them for reasons. And those reasons can be whatever. And then we're going to have our favorites, which are 1 to 2 teams that you think are the favorites to win the division.
Let's name two teams. Let's set the ground rules. Let's name two teams that we think if we were going to Vegas and putting money on the state, yes, on 7-on-7,
which we're not,
put money on these two teams, which we're not, but we would put money on these two teams. Maybe
lunch bet on these two teams. Exactly right. And so we are going to go through, and we're going to start with Division One. And in the Division One bracket, Division One pools, you can find all the pools on TexasFootball.com. And follow all the coverage at TexasFootball.com/7-on-7. One of the things that I was struck by when we were doing the reveal show is we put out 4 at a time, A, B, C, D, then E, F, G, H, et cetera, et cetera. And there were 16 pools. And I found myself, like, as I was going through, I found myself thinking, well, I'm interested in that pool. Well, I'm interested in that pool. I don't know. I think one of the things that's interesting about this particular Division One draw, Matthew, is that I don't know. We'll get to the Pool of Doom here in a minute, but I don't know that there is one where it's like, oh, it's super stacked and everyone else is just kind of fighting for second place. There feels like some real balance and a lot of intrigue in a lot of different pools.
Yes, there's not one that's just like flat. In Division Two, Division Three, there's one that's like blaring at us and say, this is the Pool of Doom. Here, very balanced. I think you can make a case of the toughest pool in about 10 of these pools. Very good balance. I think it was very, very tough, and I think it's going to make for some really interesting and fun matchups on Friday when we get into pool play.
Which, by the way, it's worth mentioning, if this is your first go around, we don't pick the pools. It is selected essentially randomly. They have some ways, the State 7-on-7 board have ways to make sure. Their biggest thing is they don't want like 4 Houston schools in the same pool. So they have some regional diversity, but essentially at that point, they kind of hit a randomizer button and say, okay, here we go.
Yeah, they kind of put the teams as much as they can into buckets. So you have a Dallas bucket, a Houston bucket, then maybe like an Austin, San Antonio bucket, and then kind of in Division One, at least a bucket of like your El Paso, West Texas, Rio Grande Valley, Corpus teams, that kind of thing. So they try to make it as but they also try to make it where you don't play somebody you would play in district play in the first round of the bracket, that kind of thing.
Correct. So, Matthew, I am going to ask you, as we just said that there is no pool of doom in Division One. Matt Sepp, what is your pool of doom in Division One?
I'm going to go I like Pool H quite a bit. I think Pool H is going to be a really interesting pool. Start with DeSoto at the top, 2022 champion, made it to the quarters in 2023. Back-to-back state champs in real football. We know how good their skill talent's going to be with Boogie Feaster, Daylon Singleton at receiver. Virginia Tech quarterback, Keldon Ryan is there. We'll see just how strong the Eagles are. I think there are some questions about QB play, so we'll see. But they're as good at 7-on-7 as anyone in the state. El Paso Eastlake is kind of a regular at state 7-on-7 from the El Paso area. They've got some talent. They're always a scrappy team when it comes to 7-on-7. Lake Travis, who has the longest streak of making the state 7-on-7 tournament consecutively now, they're in here. Interesting to see the development of Chasten Ditta at quarterback over the offseason, how much he's improved. And Katie Tompkins, maybe one of the better teams out of the Houston area that no one's talking about. They don't have any stars. They're just really solid across the board. Really good pool here in Pool H. Excited to see how this thing shakes out. There are going to be some real battles.
Good pick. Good pick there. I am going to go... For my pick, again, it's weird because there's not one that you're like, oh my gosh, like nobody's getting out of here. So they're all about, we're kind of arguing over degrees here. I might go with Pool B. You've got Argyle making, you know, they're in, now in 5A. They've got plenty of playmakers. Like they've got a I believe a sophomore wide receiver in Julian Caldwell. I'm really interested in watching. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Got a Tech offer, committed to Tech or something. They just recently got an offer. Mason Gasperson, their quarterback, really started to come along last year. He's really, really talented.
San Antonio Brandeis has got playmakers. Darren Hall, Matthew McLennan, their quarterback as well. They're going to be good. Fort Bend Ridgepoint, always loaded with playmakers, and this year is no different. They've got tons of dudes, including I'm a big Austin Carlisle guy. I've been an Austin Carlisle guy, their quarterback, for quite a while. I'm a big fan of his. And then you've got Rockwall. And as far as offenses are concerned, there are few teams that are as, I think, loaded offensively as they are. Landon Locke, Tristan Gooch, Jack Duckworth, Jackson Stoner, they are absolutely loaded. And so I think that is going to be there's a real styles make fights situation here. And for Rockwall, like, they're going to want to get the ball back to their offense and go, 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 go. I think there's a lot of intrigue here. And there is going to be, I will just say this, whoever finishes third in that district may be the favorite to win the consolation bracket, again, depending on their attitude whenever they wake up on Saturday morning.
From a talent standpoint, they're going to be there to do some damage. So I agree. I think Pool B is going to be a really fun pool to watch.
All right. Now I want your hipster pool. What is the pool that maybe isn't your pool of doom, but you're like, hey, we're going to swing by and make sure we catch a couple games here?
Oh, for me, it's no doubt. I love Pool A. I think Pool A is absolutely fascinating because of the quarterback play. Mm-hmm. You've got Flower Mound Marcus and Colton Nussmeier, the 2027 quarterback.
That's right.
I saw him in state qualifying. He is really, really good. He's going to be a dude. Love him. Pflugerville Weiss, they're loaded. Adrian Wilson, DJ Duggar, quarterback Jax Brown's got some Division I offers. If you like quarterback play, Pool A is the pool for you. Wichita Falls Memorial, maybe the one mystery team in the tournament because of the consolidation there, Wichita Falls ISD. They've got a great quarterback and 6'6" junior to be Joe Castles. I saw them in the Abilene SQT, and he was dealing. And then you've got Willis. And everybody's thinking, oh, Willis is going to go back to being, you know, an average team. DJ Lagway's gone. They're still as loaded as anyone with the skill positions. Jermaine Bishop and that crew, outstanding. Pool A is a fun pool. The golf cart will be going by this field, I can guarantee you, at some point.
That's a good pick. I am going to matriculate down to Pool J. Can I interest you in a little bit of Pool J? Simply because, again, stylistically, this is so interesting. So you've got Lovejoy, and Lovejoy is going to be who everybody talks about. And as far as like prospects is concerned, probably the top prospect here is Dalen McCutcheon. The star wide receiver there for Lovejoy. He's that dude. And I think, you know, obviously what we're going to see from them with Todd Dodge back in the mix is going to be really interesting to see what he gets. So all the focus is going to be on him. But I would submit to you, Matthew, that you look up and down, and this is a really intriguing pool. Friendswood's got a big tight end named Noah Abebe that I'm really interested to get some eyes on. I want to watch him. Keller Central, I think, is a real sleeper here. They have got a couple of guys that I'm really interested in. And just, again, like workmanlike, finding a way to win.
There's a new attitude there at Keller Central. They've got a new head coach. They've went to two SQTs and went a combined 7-1. Like, they're turning the corner quickly over there.
And then there's PSJA Memorial, which, as we talked about on the show, literally the last team in. Now, that's not because they're the worst team. That is because they played the last SQT. But they will be right in. Their defense has been spectacular all throughout qualifying play. And right out of the chutes, you want to talk about their first game at State 7-on-7. Have they made the tournament before?
Not since 2010.
Okay. So in their first game in 15 years, basically, at the state tournament, they get Lovejoy. Right out of the chute, you want to talk about, like, culture shift. You want to talk about, like, geographic, there's a lot of intrigue here that I might end up finding myself and trying to talk you into going and watching PSJA Memorial and Lovejoy for that opener.
I'm in. We'll swing the golf cart by for sure.
All right. So that is my hipster pool. What is your team that you're weirdly interested in. It could be for whatever reason. There's out there 64 teams to choose from.
Yeah.
Who is the team you're weirdly interested in?
I'm really interested in Richardson Berkner. First time at State 7-on-7. I've been really impressed with them in qualifying. They went to three tournaments and played very, very well. They went to a tournament after qualifying and played well, went 2-1, lost a 2-point game to Argyle with their backups. So they're going to have depth. They are as athletic and talented as anyone. I just want to see – they're in a tough pool. You got College Station and the Woodlands and Lubbock Coronado in there. Tough pool. But I'm fascinated to see what the Berkner Rams do down in College Station in their first appearance.
It's an excellent pick. I think – see, I want to be a little hipstery here because I could be like, I'm super interested in Alamo Heights because, yeah, I'm super interested in Alamo Heights. I want to see Michael Terry, like, do Michael Terry things. I will be a little hipster here. I am really intrigued. Yeah, all right. I am really intrigued to see how a team like Cy Falls enters into this tournament because they get a draw with a bunch of teams that are going to be like, I think people are going to be talking about more. Leander Rouse has had great success at 7-on-7 before. Allen is going to be the headliner there in Pool N. But Cy Falls got a couple of dudes, Chase Farrell and Caleb Burns. I want to see how they do on the big stage. And that's a team I'm willing to really buy in the fall if I see the right things, especially at the quarterback spot. I'm really interested in buying on Cy Falls. The other one I will say is Louisville. Out of Pool D, Louisville, I think, could be this year's Anna. And what I mean by that is last year we had big questions about Anna coming into the State 7-on-7 tournament. And then that was the first time we all got to see Ziondre Williams. And we were like, oh, okay, never mind. They're going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, ironically, they're in the same pool as Anna.
Yeah, yeah.
But Louisville is loaded with babies. Okay, they are loaded with youngsters, 2027 kids, 2026 kids. And so what I want to see is, all right, are they ready for prime time? Because if those guys go out there in College Station and show out, then it's like, y'all, maybe it's not 2024, but then for 2025, I start penciling and I'm like, all right, keep an eye on Louisville. So Louisville's a team that I'm really intrigued by.
You named two. Let me give you one more. Yeah. Let me give you same pool. I want to see what Corpus Christi Miller is bringing to the table. This is their year. They're loaded with experience. Third straight trip to College Station. 3-year starter at quarterback. Are they going to put it together? If they're going to put it together, it's this year. I want to see how they fare in this really. And that's another pool D. Anna, KDC, Orange, Louisville, Corpus Christi Miller, another really, really good pool. So that's my second kind of team to watch.
If Justin Evans is there, if Justin Evans is there, he will be the most stressed out person in College Station.
Yeah.
That dude, he lives and dies with everything. He's that guy who it's like he wishes he could be coaching. Not that his coaches aren't doing a great job there, but like he's like, oh my gosh.
Anyway. He's living and dying with every snap. He's literally on the edge of his seat.
All right. Matthew, you get to pick two teams that you want to put in your true championship contender pool for State 7-on-7 2024 in Division One. Who you got?
All right. I'm gonna go to pool C first. Austin Westlake, going out on a real limb here with Austin Westlake, but they've got that guy at quarterback, Reese Wise. If you haven't seen him, he's mm-hmm. a dude. I think Westlake's going to be a real contender. And Pool G, North Crowley. Ray Gates, the head coach, won't be there. He'll be in Costa Rica. Talk about a dichotomy of sites, College Station or Costa Rica. But North Crowley, all their players are going to be there, and they are as talented and loaded as anyone. When North Crowley and Alamo Heights play each other, that's going to be must-see TV with the level of recruits in the field in that game. So really excited. I think North Crowley and Westlake are two teams that I would bet lunch have a chance to make some big-time noise and win it all.
Good pick. Good pick. I'm going to go super boring with one, and then I'm going to go almost hipstery with another one. Okay. Super boring one. I mean, not super boring. I want to go with College Station. College Station is a team that has played. They've won State 7-on-7 before, right?
They've won it once, and they've been to the championship game at least one other. The College Station area between A&M Consolidated, who didn't qualify, and College Station, they're all, it always seems like one of them or both of them are in the semifinals. They're always playing deep.
Yes, absolutely. But that is a College Station has got, is loaded with talent. They're ready for prime time. Aiden Martinez Brown is going to be there. Braylon Wortham in the secondary. They got a big tight end in Jackson Verdugo. They have everything it takes, and they are also a team with, if there's such a thing as 7-on-7 pedigree, which we'll probably talk about when we get to Division II here in a moment, they've got 7-on-7 pedigree. So College Station is my hipster one, or my kind of pick to click. My hipstery one, buddy, if they can get out of their pool, and that's easier said than done, I can see San Antonio Piper winning the dang thing. Okay? San Antonio Piper is loaded. And I know you're an Isaiah Champagne fan. I know you are.
That dude, I'm a big Isaiah Champagne fan, yes.
He rocks. They got a safety in Jackson Hopper. Both their safeties, him and Chris Vivians, have been fantastic. The question for me, and again, this is a real Anna question. That's what it's going to be now. It's like the Anna question. Do they have a quarterback? Jake South is gone. Do they have a quarterback? They're here, so obviously they have somebody who can throw the ball. I want to see who it is. And if they have that guy, it's like, okay, they can go the distance because all the other pieces around them are right there to make that run. So that's my kind of hipstery championship pick, but I would say the College Station's my pick.
I'm surprised personally you didn't pick this little scrappy team from the Metroplex near the airport.
From Northwest Dallas County?
Yeah, the Coppell Cowboys. If I was picking three teams, Coppell might be my third team. They got a great shot to win it all. They went to the semifinals last year.
They are, it's strange for me to say, as a Coppell grad, Cowboy Fight Does Never Die, but like they are now reaching a point of like, it's not cute anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, yeah. It used to be, it's like, oh, like Tepper's rooting for Coppell. Like that's cute. And now they're like, oh, they're like, if you were
12-1 last year, legitimately,
when you take a look at their roster, Edward Griffin, their quarterback, Weston Polk at the linebacker spot, they're loaded across the board. And Antonio Wiley has really established them and kind of instilled in them like, hey, we need to take 7-on-7 seriously. And if you were to make like, I'm not being a jerk here. If you were to go through and you were to make like a list and rank the teams as far as chances to win the state tournament, Coppell's in the top eight, as far as what they do. So that's right, weird for me.
You have I think a kid thing you have to attend Saturday, so you won't be out there. You're leaving Friday night. You have a kid thing. Will you be keeping up with how Coppell is doing on Saturday?
Oh yeah. No, okay, I'm gonna be texting you constantly that morning.
You're refreshing the Google Doc on your phone,
It's my niece's first birthday, and I am going to be totally ignoring
Lila. Honey, Coppell's in the quarterfinals. I got to check this out. the updates right now.
Lila, my niece Lila can't talk, but she's going to look at me and be like, Uncle Greg, can you please pay attention to me?
You're going
to
have Carter, FaceTiming you during the game.
Not now. Coppell's in the finals against Westlake. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Will you trash talk in the office if Coppell wins it on Monday? Will you walk in the office Monday and trash talk?
I will be insufferable. I'm going to go to Coppell and borrow the belt and bring it in on Monday.
Take a picture with it? Yeah.
Bring it in on Monday? It'd be so good. Anyway.
That's a great bit.
Division 1 breakdown state 7-on-7 tournament. Let's go to the Division 2 bracket. Division 2 is 4A, 3A Division 1, and then the lone private school in our range here in the pool this year. There's 32 teams divided into 8 different pools. And Matthew, this one is interesting because I think when I take a look at Division 2, I do think there are about 3 or 4 pretty clear favorites, but they are relatively spread out. And this, to me, could lead to chalky is the wrong word, but we were talking about teams that are like the Yankees, where it's like a 7-on-7, where it's like they're just always in it, like they're always a threat. And there's a couple of those teams in Division 2 that I really can't shake and be like, all right, if it's not going to be Hitchcock for a third straight year, then it's probably going to be one of those.
I agree. I think you've got a much shorter list of contenders. You've got your teams that are pretty much in their year in, year out. So I think that assessment is accurate, but it doesn't mean a surprise team can't sneak up on us and do some damage. We've seen that before. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to a certain extent, Anna last year, when we were wondering about them. We didn't really talk about them pre-tournament, and they haul off and they didn't even win their pool. Mm-hmm. They finished second in their pool, but then they got all the way to the championship game the next day. So I could see it for sure. I'm really interested in Division II. I think the field in Division II is deep with a lot of talented mm-hmm. teams, maybe who just don't have the 7-on-7 pedigree.
That's kind of where we're at. It's like there's 7-on-7. This is when we talk about 7-on-7 pedigree and with those types of things. And so there's a couple of those teams that have that 7-on-7 pedigree they can't really deny. And I'm curious to see if that wins out. And so now I'm going to the fun thing here is I'm going to have to pick some pool of doom that's not the actual pool of doom so we can be different because
no, Matt actually, Stepp, you could have that one. I've got a different pool.
You want me to go first?
Go ahead.
This is the layup then. The layup of the entire podcast. Because when we actually, so because we were making graphics for the show, we did get the pools like last night. So we've been able to look over them and stuff. We got them before the show. And I believe I texted you or Slacked you or something like that. And I said, dude, pool H of Division II is absolutely ludicrous.
Yes.
And yes, it crazy. Is. Okay. Yes. So the pool is Graham, one of the most decorated programs in 7-on-7 history,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I mean, a team that
for sure.
Every year they're there. Every year they're a threat. Every year they can go
three times, including back to back. They've had back to back. Yeah,
but it's not just pedigree because they've got an outstanding quarterback in Ty Thompson that I think
they're
has an
good in real football. They bring back the house. This everybody in Graham has kind of been pointing to this year. This is our year. This is a year we're gonna be dangerous.
You've got Hampshire Finette, who has one of the most exciting sophomores in America in Isaiah Red, and is going to be, again, really good at real football in the fall and has dudes all over the field.
Yes.
You've got Kilgore, who is as fast as any team you will see out there. And Jaden Sanders, their safety, is probably their headliner, but they have just got dudes everywhere. Like, they are, when you talk East Texas speed, like they are the East Texas speed team.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're outrageous. And then you've got the team that nobody's going to know about and nobody's going to pay attention to because isn't their first time at 7-on-7?
Kilgore and Kimball is their first time at state 7-on-7.
Yeah. Okay. Dallas Kimball, my mom's alma mater. Okay. So my alma mater and my mom's alma mater are here. Guys, Dallas Kimball, here's a weird take. From a prospect perspective, they might be the most talented team in this pool. Like they're loaded.
Yeah, and they didn't qualify in the Metroplex. They went out to East Texas and qualified. So like they've already tested themselves. They're going to be a team to keep an eye on. This is a really, really good pool, and I could see a team finishing third or fourth in this pool, and then on Friday going on a deep run. That's how talented and deep this group of teams is. This is a
pool. There is an argument to be made that of the 32 teams in the Division II bracket, like four of the top like 12 are in Pool H. It's a crazy bracket or crazy pool. So now lie to the people and tell them what the real Pool of Doom is.
Well, this isn't that far off. Once I really started to look at it, I said, man, Pool F mm-hmm. is outstanding. You've got Dumas. Talk about 7-on-7 pedigree. Yep. Dumas is here every year. Aaron Dunham, they make it a point to get here. They play a lot. And here's the thing. Dumas is talented as well. They brought everybody back. They know how to play 7-on-7. They know the game. They play it well. Glen Rose, Canyon Evans, their quarterback, is one of the better quarterbacks in this tournament. Glen Rose, two-time state semifinalist in real football. They're going to be a team to watch offensively. A lot of guys back. Then you got Fresno Panther Creek. Second straight year here. They've got Christian Trickett, Jalen Lott, Centel Simpson, loaded at the skill spots. The question is quarterback play. They graduated mm-hmm. their quarterback. Do they have the consistency at the quarterback spot? And then here's the thing. No one's talking about West Orange Stark. Man for man, there's not any many teams that bring the talent like the Mustangs. West Orange Stark's third straight year at State 7-on-7. They made a deep run last year. I think got all the way to the semifinals or the quarterfinals a year ago. They're going to be a team to watch as well. Pool F maybe doesn't quite have the headliners that Pool H does. Pool F is every bit as strong. I'm going to be really interested in Pool F as well.
It's a fair question. All right. So now on to your hipster pool. What's the pool that people might be sleeping on that you're really interested in?
I'm really interested in Pool C. You've got Little River Academy. Keep in mind, Cavalli Neely, their running back. He's really dangerous, really outstanding. Salina, another. There's no one with 7-on-7 pedigree like Salina. They've won more state 7-on-7 championships than anyone. They've got a really good quarterback. They just consistent at 7-on-7. Mm-hmm. They just get it done year after year after year. Somerset out of the San Antonio area, played in one qualifier and blew through it and qualified. You know, Coy Detmer, their quarterback, their head coach. If Coy Detmer was their quarterback, we'd have a real story. But he's their head coach. He believes in throwing the football. Somerset's going to be dangerous. And you got West Columbia out of the Houston area, a surprise qualifier out of the Houston area. So Pool C is kind of the pool that I'm really intrigued by as far as a hipster pool.
I'm going to go next door to Pool B for my hipster pool. You have a team in Alvarado that I don't want to spoil anything, but I know you're particularly high on in Alvarado. Austin LBJ. I think so. To fast forward to, by the way, starting in August, you will have our season preview episodes. We're going to be talking a lot about LBJ as far as a realignment winner, because they just get to play with their like teams that should be playing. And that kind of translates over into 7-on-7 too, that now LBJ at the Division II level in 7-on-7, from a talent perspective, it's crazy what they've got out there. I mean, they've got dudes all over the field. LBJ is going to be fun to watch. Brookshire Royal, if you have not seen Kamar Chavez Brown, their running back, you are in for a treat. A sophomore, keep an eye on him. Brookshire Royal is going to be fun. And LaGrange, a team that has pedigree and has dudes every single year. I think Pool B has a real chance to steal the show. And there's a couple, especially like right out of the shoot, we get Alvarado and Austin LBJ. Like,
oh, that's going to be fun. Yeah.
That's big boy football right there. Oh, yeah. 145
that might be where we're at Thursday.
On Thursday, might be there at 145. Alvarado and Austin LBJ is going to be a lot of fun to watch. All right. I want you to give me the team that you are weirdly interested in and go ahead and steal the team that I'm thinking of.
For me, I'll give you two, like we did in Division One. Alvarado.
Oh, no, hold on. The team you're weirdly interested in, not your champions.
No, Alvarado's not my champion. Never mind. I'm weirdly interested in them because I think Alvarado, no one's talking about them as far as being an elite team next year. I think Alvarado's got a chance to be dynamic. Cardia Collier, quarterback.
He's
love that guy.
Awesome.
So productive. So I'm going to be really, really interested in Alvarado. And then Senton. Okay. Number one, I'm interested in Mike Troutman to see how intense he's going to be. My guess is the intensity level will be turned up to about a 9, which I think that's just kind of like resting. I think his resting intensity level is a 9. I think he's just kind of always that way. But Jacoby James, their wide receiver at Senton, really underrated prospect at quarterback Tristan Hansen. Excited to see Senton at state 7-on-7 tournament to see what they can bring to the table there in Pool D.
Do you know who I'm going to say is my team I'm weirdly interested in?
Ponder.
Mineral Wealth. Mineral Wealth.
They're good.
I'm in on Mineral Wealth.
They're very good.
Okay, because they went to the – where did they qualify?
So they made the semifinals at their own tournament and lost literally on the last play of the game to Glen Rose. Glen Rose scored on the last play of the game and went for 2 to win it and beat them. And then they went to Jim Ned. Dominated, and they dominated pool play, and then beat Stephenville. Mineral Wells beat Stephenville to qualify. It's no joke.
Yeah, Owen Gadd is one of my breakout stars of the year. Their quarterback, I'm really big on him. And then if you have not seen, they have a receiver, Preston Harrison. Okay, 6'6", 215.
Texas Tech commit.
He is a monster, and I am. Fascinating. I know Cody Worrell is super fired up about this team, and they haven't made it in 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, something like that.
He's been almost 10, like 9 years.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a hot minute, but I know they're fired up in Mineral Wells about it. And I am really interested to see how they perform on Thursday, whenever they get going into pool play. And by the way, I look at their pool and like Beeville Jones, Lorena, and Needville, tough teams. there's no reason that they can't finish first or second in that pool. I mean, really and truly, the way that they're playing,
right.
keep an eye on Mineral Wells. All right, so now give me your 1-2 contenders for this championship.
We'll go with the obvious pick is Graham. I mean, they're, you know, going out on a real limb here with Graham. Yeah. I think they're a huge contender. And a team no one's talking about. Watch out for Bay City, the Black Cats.
Ooh.
Keep an eye. Jahda Andrews, running back. They've got an experienced quarterback. Yeah, two or three really dynamic receivers. Bay City actually beat Hitchcock to qualify for the state 7-on-7 tournament. So Bay City's no joke. They can play with anyone in this tournament. So that's my like sleeper kind of pick, championship pick is Bay City.
All right. I like that. Bay City is a good pick. I am going to go with my picks. I'm going to go with the other blue blood. I'm going to go with Salina. I think that's kind of it. I mean, honestly, you're leaving two on the board for me. I'll go with Salina, and then I'll go with the two-time defending champs in Hitchcock. Like,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
you know, they've got the dudes. They've got the quarterback back in Lloyd Jones III. They've got the dudes out there that, like, I mean, Kelshawn Johnson, Chase Bruton, like they're going to be out
there.
Like, they're going to be in the mix. And it's like, and they obviously can win at the highest level at 7-on-7. So yeah, I mean, why not?
One thing to keep an eye on. No team has ever won 3 straight 7-on-7 titles. We've had some back-to-backs, but never 3 straight.
Well, and we are going to see that in Division 2, and we may see that in Division 3 as well. How's that for a segue? Let's go to the Division 3 bracket.
Here, man. We are
the small school bracket with Division 2, 3A Division 2, 2A, and then 1A teams are eligible, but there are no 1A teams here. It's all 3A Division 2 and 2A. And so, Matt, when I take a look at this overall, I do think that there are a couple of pretty clear pools of doom that you can point to, and a couple of teams that on paper are the favorites. But when you get to the small schools, a lot of this ultimately comes down to depth and how you got those dudes, because when it gets to be 10:30 a.m. and on Friday and you're playing your seventh game or sixth game and it's hot, who's got that dog in them? And so that's why I think Division 3, like, Miles has won it the last couple of years. Miles has been a good team. Miles has not been, in my opinion, like this world-beating team, but they are deep and they have a great like way of playing 7-on-7 that sets them apart.
And they're consistent.
Consistent.
They're so consistent. Yeah.
And so that's the thing, is like, who can be the most consistent here?
Agree. I think you're right. The depth thing, especially these smaller schools, can play a key role. And that's right. Miles doesn't have, you know, they've won it back to back years. They don't have the standout Division I guy, but just across the board, they've got everybody can make plays and they just kind of wear you down.
It will be really interesting to see, especially Miles looking for a 3-peat, because that's a program that obviously takes 7-on-7. They take it very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about pools of doom. I've got one on my radar, but I think there's two or three that you could really like. I don't pool like Division 2, Pool H is, like, in my opinion,
yeah,
the clear one.
Yeah.
But your point as well, taking that Pool F's really good as well. There are two or three in Division 3. What's your pool of doom here?
I'm gonna go Pool B. I love this pool. Number one, you got Miles, two-time defending champion, headlining the pool. Well, the last team that won it besides Miles is in this pool. Mm-hmm. And that's East Bernard, who won it in 2021. New coach in Jeremy Jenkins. They're a little more wide open now. They're spreading it out a little bit more. You can never doubt East Bernard. They're going to be in the mix in 7-on-7. They're always a tough team. So right there off the top, you got Miles, East Bernard, two teams that have made deep runs, and the last three champions are right here in this pool. Childress, a perennial, they're always in College Station, and they made the championship game in 2021, the year that East Bernard won it. Childress lost to East Bernard mm-hmm. in the championship game. So Childress has a good young quarterback that I like. They looked good in qualifying. They're always in the mix, and they've got that 7-on-7 pedigree. And you've got kind of the wild card there in Bartlett, a real surprise qualifier out of Central Texas. Interested to see what the Bulldogs bring to the table. This is kind of a great growing moment for them. I just think they're kind of in a really tough pool. Those first three teams, Miles, East Bernard, and Childress, are really, really good.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that one. I think that's a good pick is Pool B. I will go just to be a little different. I do agree with you that I think that might be the Pool of Doom, but I'll be a little bit different and I'll go to Pool G. Okay. Pool G is fascinating from a playmaker perspective and from a storyline perspective. So from a playmaker perspective, three of these four teams have like legit like dudes on their roster, which is strange to say at a level like this, in that you've got Grapeland. If you have not seen their outstanding playmaker, Malik Johnson, their dude, he is a certified dude. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Honeygrove is loaded. It's not just Rylan Morris, although he is certainly the tip of the spear, but I'm interested in seeing Brody Mayhem and Levi Beavers go out there and do their thing. There is Sunray, Mia Moore. I get to see the Armando Luan experience is coming to College Station. And one
I
of my,
need you, I have one assignment for you.
Okay.
When Sunray is not playing, I need you to go get a picture with Armando. Like, I got a picture with Ty Hawkins last year. You got to get a picture with Armando Luan.
Yeah. It's like our guys. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, like this is my dude.
I love that kid. Yeah.
And Armando Luan is that guy. And so I'll get a picture with Armando Luan. He rocks. And I'm interested to see what Sunray can do. And then there's Poth. And Poth, just bobbing along from a prospect perspective, they're not going to wow you, but they're just good at 7-on-7, and they're, which is strange, kind of considering the offense they tend to run. They have opened it up a little bit more.
Yeah, they opened it up a little bit last year, and I think made the regional final, mm-hmm. lost to Tidehaven in a really close game.
Yeah.
But Poth actually made the 7-on-7 state championship game last year, lost a close one mm-hmm. to Miles a year ago. So they win. Poth just finds a way to win.
From playmakers to pedigree and stuff like that, Pool G's got a little bit of everything, and I think it's going to be really interesting to watch. And it's not just because Armando Luan, but that certainly helps. All right, what is your hipster pool? What's the pool that nobody's looking at as a pool of doom, but you're going to be super interested in?
Pool E. I guess it's a really fascinating pool. You've got Ganado, who made that surprise run to the state semifinals last year. Real football. They're back for their second straight year at state 7-on-7.
Spoiler alert. Actually, you know what? I can say this because it's not even a spoiler alert for people, because like they should be getting their magazines here pretty soon.
We posted our top 10.
Check out the 2A Division 1 rankings and see where Ganado is. Spoiler alert. Yeah. But go on. Yeah.
Eastland, a perennial team out of the big country who's in the mix. Lexington, great quarterback play, as talented as anyone. Is this the year that Lexington breaks through? And then kind of another team out of that Concho Valley, you know, Miles, back-to-back mm-hmm. state champs in 7-on-7 out of the Concho Valley. Keep an eye on Sonora. The Broncos mm-hmm. are going to be a force as well. That pool E, really intriguing. Really, really excited to see the teams in that pool.
Yeah, Sonora is interesting to me too, because I think that like their coach, Blake Weston, since he's gotten there, he's really tried to like, hey, this is important to us. This is something that's going to help us down the road. We need to take 7-on-7 seriously. I think it's paid off. And obviously being here has been a big thing for them. I am going to go, and again, this is a hipster pool, right? There's no more hipster pool than Pool H. It's the quintessential hipster pool, okay? Because you've got Jacksboro. Very solid squad. Excited to see what Jacksboro has to offer this year. They've got Cannon Valenzuela, their receiver, who's one of the most, like, from a numbers perspective, put up crazy numbers. He's got their quarterback, Gannon McElroy, back as well. They're going to be fun to watch. You've got Hearn always loaded, Darion Mitchell, and of course, they're a local team too. They can sleep in their own bed every night. But then you've got the Alpine Bucks from way out west. Speaking of Mia Moore,
Texas, yeah.
The team I'll go on them. I'm rooting for. I will just say I'm rooting for them. Alpine, who's going to make the drive, and they will play at, let me make sure I get this right, at 4:00 on Thursday. Alpine will play Santa Rosa from Rio Grande Valley, and that will be the first time that those two teams have ever thought about each other.
Yeah. Kind of like, who are you guys? You know,
so. This is perfect. That's I love that. And it'll be a lot of fun to watch. And by the way, like, Alpine has been on the up and up from a 7-on-7 perspective too. And yep. Like, and you know, getting better at it. So
what if the state 7-on-7 board announced that next year's state 7-on-7 tournament will be held in Alpine? How happy would you be?
I just cry.
Go spend 3 days in Alpine on the company dime.
I'd cry. I'd just cry. It was so good. They played
so
play
happy.
The finals at Sol Ross. It'll be great. We should do it.
Just go to
Brandon
Alicia's.
Houston. Brandon Houston,
Yeah.
call me, man.
Doug Stevens, man. Come on. Let's make that happen. Stake
all right.
707 in Alpine.
That'd be so good. All right. Give me the team that you are weirdly interested in Division III.
Brady. I think Brady is a team no one's talking about. I'm really excited to see what they bring to the table. They made the championship game 2 years ago. They played at the Abilene qualifier and just obliterated people, just were bodying teams. So excited to see what the Brady Bulldogs bring to the table at the state 7-on-7 tournament.
Yeah, Brady's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to go off the board here, and I'm going to go into Region 1, or rather Pool A, I should say. Give me the Bulldogs of Millsap, okay? I'm high on them. I think they can make a leap this year in real football. They've got C.R. Tippy back, their quarterback, who I think is going to be really fun to watch, and a couple of playmakers in Nixon DeLon and Reed Green. Keep an eye on Millsap. That is the team that I'm weirdly interested in. I think they're gonna be interesting, fun to watch. It's sad Lubbock Roosevelt is in this tournament, but I know they've changed offenses since they were running, right? They're not running the
slot.
Yeah,
they're a little
anymore.
More wide open now. Yeah, I think they're kind of in a little power spread.
Boo. But who didn't you say you were mentioned this on the show today? There's a team that run the wing T and they run, is it Terrell?
Terrell's running the wing tee, yeah.
And they're running out fakes?
Yeah, they will. A few years ago, Goldthwait, when they were running the flex bone, was at State 707. They had running backs with their hand to the ground.
I
they were like
love
running,
it.
Running through their fakes, yeah.
Spectacular stuff. That's the whole point of this. Let's be
just
weird.
Yes.
Okay, so those are the teams that we're weirdly interested in. All right, Matthew, give me one to two teams in the Division III bracket that you think could win it all.
Well, I'm going to go real chalky here with my first pick, and that's going to be Gunter.
Mm-hmm.
Those plucky kids from Preston Road, north of the Metroplex there. They're always in the mix in 7-on-7 and in real football, and I don't see any reason why Gunter can't make a run and win at all, especially because they'll have Colin Peacock there this year, who's not he was out last year on a mission trip. He says, hey, 7-on-7, 7-on-7 or God, I don't know. Let's go 7-on-7. So... Not really, but they,
God,
the mission trip,
God
I think,
cleared out of the
early.
Paint is what you're saying.
Yeah. Called ISO 7-on-7. I think his mission trip was last week, so he's
I think
able
that's
to go
right.
This
I think because
so.
7-on-7 is later this year. It's like
it's a week
later.
This year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Gunner obviously is one, and then Dangerfield.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be any team in Division III as athletic and as physically talented as Dangerfield, and they've got a veteran quarterback in Chase Johnson. Keep an eye on the Dangerfield Tigers out of East Texas.
Okay. I'm going to go again, real chalky here, but Miles, okay? Two-time defending champs. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They're good at this. They've got the players to do it. They know how to win in these types of things, and they take it seriously, and that's kind of one of the things that you've got to do. And then my other one, I'll just do it. I think Sunray is going to win it. I think Sunray, I think if you're looking for the team with, like, this is a passing league, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a passing league.
Yep.
Who's got the best passer in this tournament?
In Division III, it's probably Sunray. They've got
it's
that
probably
guy.
Sunray. Got that
what
guy.
A perfect Tepper weekend would be Sunray winning it in Division III and Coppell winning in Division I.
It'd be Sunray Division III. I don't really care who wins in Division II. I would love
I guess
for like
Kimball.
Some... Kimball, yeah, my mom went to Kimball. So the perfect Tepper weekend would be Sunray, Kimball, and Coppell.
Have those three schools ever been mentioned in the same sentence ever?
This is the first time we're making history on Tep and stuff, guys. We're making history. Okay, so there it is. There is your state 7-on-7 preview, you monsters. We're going to be down there. We're going to be sweating it out.
We got our team. We're all going to get down. We're going to matriculate down Wednesday afternoon, and we'll have our famous team dinner on Wednesday night. V&A Moreno is picking the place to eat, so a lot of pressure on her. We'll have a good time. We'll have hijinks. I'm sure we'll have hijinks in the hotel. We always do. We always have fun with our buddies in the media, hanging out. And yeah, we'll be in our golf carts, so we'll come prepared. Lots of water. Bring a chair. Bring shade, sunscreen. It's hot. I said on Twitter, it's June, it's Texas. It's going to be hot.
Yes,
so
exactly right.
Let's just prepare for it. The kids will be fine. They're in better shape than all of us.
Yes.
So just drink a lot of water, bring a lot of sunscreen and It's a lot of fun. It's we'll be miserable. And by the way, this weekend is the most elite shower of the year.
It is.
That shower,
that on Friday night shower.
Friday night shower after being out there for 12 hours is about as good as it gets. So, yeah, it's always fun. It's a,
and then
appreciate our boss and putting an investment into us and putting investment in us covering 7-on-7. I think it's really paid off, and we appreciate you guys for consuming our content.
Speaking of content, we'll have, of course, wall-to-wall coverage on TexasFootball.com, but a reminder, Thursday night and Friday night, 6 o'clock, the State 7-on-7 postgame show starring Greg Powers and also Matt Stepp and Greg Tepper. That's the
presented
real...
Presented by the Texas Army National Guard.
Yes, presented by the Texas Army National Guard, our friends there. We will have a live show with highlights and analysis. It'll be a lot of fun.
Will the big dumb hat make it on the show? Will I have to have headsets or will I have a wireless mic?
I will require, like, I'll do what it takes to make sure the big dumb hat is on the show.
All right. So, like, I'll need a wireless mic then. Okay.
To be clear, Pickle is my boss, and so she can tell me what to do, but this is my podcast, so I can, like, say it with my chest. And right. She'll just be like, we can't do that. So
we'll try to get the big dumb hat an appearance on the podcast.
We will make sure. I vow to get the big dumb hat on the show.
We hope to have we will have a Dave Campbell's tent set up. So come by and visit our famous operations people as well. We're hoping to have magazines there. No guarantees, but if it happens, we might have magazines out there. If we do, we will spread the news on social media. So
we will. We're going to try.
But if not, we'll have a tent. So come say hi to our operations people and feel free to say hi to
us. This is the truth. Like, so subscribers, like, if you're listening to my voice and you have your magazine in your hand, you have it before Dave Campbell's Texas Football does. That's a true story. We do not have
no magazines in our office.
Yeah. No, they're not.
We're just there and there are no magazines.
Like, you brought yours that came in the mail as a subscriber to the show today. So, yeah. Anyway. Consider yourself lucky, and thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. That's what we do.
Yeah.
But remember, Thursday and Friday, the State 7-on-7 postgame show presented by the Texas Army National Guard, 6 o'clock on TexanLive.com exclusively there. It's free, but it doesn't need to be free because you're a subscriber and we love you.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's going to do it for us.
So yeah, the next Tef and Step will be in less than a month.
Oh boy. Oh
live
yeah.
Live from San Antonio.
We got to start thinking about, because we got to start thinking about the third man or third woman. But,
well, I think if Hudson shows up, it's got to be Hudson, right?
I think Hudson Stanish is our first draft pick. If he can be there Thursday or Tuesday morning at
if he doesn't go too hard Monday night, it's his first coaching school.
Oh, baby's first coaching school.
It's baby's first coaching school. Yeah, because we remember what happened to Mike Roach on his first coaching school.
Because the other option here, because I've been famous, thinking about this.
Do you remember that when Mike Roach had his first coaching school?
That was our first
famous. Yeah, he famously said he was shoveling cheese enchiladas at Meat Sierra to ward off a hangover.
That was the first time I ever met Three Button Roach. Because I was thinking about this, like, Hudson Stanish is the number one draft pick, but, like, we could also get our boss, Brooke Miller, on, who has never appeared on programming.
I think if Hudson is out, we go Brooke.
Which could be fun and also dangerous for our careers. But that's a story for next time on Tep and Step. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next time on Tep and Step.